This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. Daniel, What If? Given by Director of Youth and Family Life, Bonnie Sieben.
Well, good morning, Connection. It's great to see you all today. It takes me a moment to get used to these lights up here. It's a little different from this side of the stage. My name is Bonnie Sieben, and I'm a longtime disciple member here at Connection. And as Missy and Jeremy mentioned, I am also serving in the staff position of co-director of Youth and Family Life, along with Kyle Smith. So I get to work with a lot of you in a lot of different ways, and I'm honored to be bringing the message to you this morning. Before we get started, would you join me in prayer? Father God, thank you for the chance to gather together this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to settle our hearts and our minds before you, to worship you, to magnify your name. And Lord, in this place, we just pray that you would teach us collectively your word. Help us to hear your truth this morning, to be challenged. Lord God, to be open to the possibilities you have in front of us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you think of a more loaded question than what if? So I was told this morning that my message title would be What If, and we would be working through the first chapter of Daniel, and I thought, wow, that is a seriously loaded question. What if? It signifies all of the moments in our lives where we kind of stood at a crossroads and we had to make a decision. And maybe we live with a little bit of wonder, a little bit of, did I go that right direction? Was it the best path? We look back and we're not always sure. Sometimes the decision that we made, we didn't even realize in the moment the magnitude that it would have on our lives and the long-term way it would reverberate through our lives. And we don't always know if that change was for the better or not. What if I had been a better student? What if I had stuck with that last fitness program? What if I had talked out the relationship issues instead of letting them linger? I think we probably all have a few what ifs in our lives. The reality is that there's no going back, right? We must get to a point in our lives where we accept where we are, can look back with forgiveness for ourselves and others, and move forward without dwelling on the what ifs of the past. And the beauty, really the beauty of God's new mercy every morning is that we don't have to begin with that negative backwards glance, that what if of the past. Instead, as believers, we have the opportunity to say, what if for today? What if for the future? What if now is the time? What if today is different? What if I'm open to all God has intended for me today in this moment? And so as we begin this new series this month on the book of Daniel, which if you're not familiar, is an Old Testament book of biblical history mixed with prophecy, we find Daniel and his friends at the beginning face quite the what if in their own lives. So I'd like us to begin today with part of chapter 1. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his god. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace, some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years and then would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were 4 of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. Let's just pause there for a moment. Can you imagine all of the what-ifs racing through their minds at that time? Their city was defeated. Their lives were completely upended. They were taken from their families, brought in to serve a royal palace that had just destroyed life as they knew it. They weren't even allowed to keep their names. How many of us in that situation would be feeling particularly faithful to God in that moment? With our lives so shaken, would serving God and staying true to our faith be forefront on our mind? I mean, if I'm honest, I'd like to think so. I'd like to believe my answer is yes, but what a heavy burden for them to carry. And yet we'll find that it was also quite an opportunity. As we keep reading, we will see that they did not allow the circumstances around them to determine their own faithfulness. No. Let me repeat that. They did not allow situations unfolding outside of their control to rob them of the hope and faith placed in their God. Let's pick up with verse 8. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, I am afraid of the Lord, my Lord, the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I am afraid the king will have me beheaded. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, which is what the Lord had indicated for him to eat, Daniel said. And at the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you will see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion, and tested them for 10 days. In this case, the king actually did think he was doing something good for them. He wanted them healthy and strong. They were going to be in his service. And so he thought that the food and the wine he offered would be the best way to ensure that goal. But see, Daniel had a different perspective. He knew the foods that God had directed him to eat. He trusted that when God gives a directive, when God tells us what is best and right for our lives, and God actually does know what he's talking about. So in that confidence, Daniel was willing to say, trust me. Let's just pause. Let's test this out. I know it's going to work. So let's test it. Let's give it a try so that you can see, too, that God's way is the best way. In the midst of chaotic and very uncertain times, Daniel's faith was rock solid. See, the what if he was focused on, the what if he was grounded in, was not, what if I hadn't been taken captive? What if our city had not been destroyed? No, see, his what if was, what if I live faithfully to God right now in the middle of this seemingly impossible circumstance? What if I continue to follow my God here in this place where I have been placed? That's actually pretty amazing. Now, I'm grateful for all of the freedoms that I have in my life, and so I'm not going to compare myself to Daniel. Yet I do live, we all really do live, in a culture and a time that does not always align well with the guidance we find in Scripture. Just as Daniel found the diet that the king ordered to be counter to the diet God had called him to, I often find that the culture around me runs counter to the life I see us called to in Scripture. We're called to peace in a world prone to anger. We're called to love in a world way too comfortable with hate. We're called to hope in a world of anxiety and worry. We are called to turn the other cheek in a world that glorifies revenge. We are called to purity of heart and mind in a world full of vulgarity. And that list could go on. There's probably a sermon in every one of those. I won't give them all to you today. But places where culture invites us to live one way, and God invites us, directs us to live another. And you know what? Those tables around us, they can look pretty tempting. The spread of the king's food and wine laid out just right doesn't always look so bad. Inviting, even. Today, I'd like to talk us through just one practical example, of how that might look in our lives to stand as Daniel did against culture and lean into trust in God's directions. For me, God has been speaking to my heart lately about the idea of Sabbath. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means rest. And I'm not sure, in fact, I'm fairly certain, actually, that we don't get it right as often as we should. Let me read you the original language from Deuteronomy 5:14 that speaks to this direction for Sabbath. But the seventh day is a Sabbath rest to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Rest. Consistent, scheduled opportunities to pause. Not just for ourselves, but for all of those around us. Think about what that can look like in life. I'll pause and tell you what I'm not saying that it is. I don't think that it is. Jesus was challenged in the New Testament on some very stringent and legalistic interpretations of Sabbath. And he made it clear that Sabbath does not mean that we leave someone hurting, injured, or otherwise in need in order to keep a Sabbath. So I'm not suggesting today that we start shutting down hospitals and fire stations. But I am wondering about the attitude of our heart when it comes to Sabbath. What would Daniel say, placed in a culture like ours, often overscheduled and outpaced, with so little room for real rest? Would he say, "What if? What if we approached this differently?" I had actually started thinking about this question a few weeks ago when I saw a post of a pastor I follow on Instagram, and he posts kind of just the most insightful little reflections, devotions. So his name is Pastor Ian Simpkins, and I want to share with you a little piece of that original post I saw that got me thinking, the Lord used to get me thinking on this subject. His first slide said, Walter Brueggemann says, "The Sabbath announces that the world is safely in God's hands. The world will not disintegrate if we stop our efforts. The world relies on God's promises and not our efforts. The observance of Sabbath rest is a break with every effort to achieve, to secure ourselves, and to make the world into our image according to our purposes." His reflection went on in the following slides to say, "In the garden, Adam and Eve's first full day was not a day of work. It was a day of rest. The order is significant. That means that we work, That means that we work from rest, not rest from work. Rest is not a reward, it is a gift." And then finally he wrote, "If we only talk about work ethic, but never rest ethic, an imbalance is inevitable." He pauses on that for a second. Rest ethic. Imagine if we praise people not just for their work ethic, for the constant achievement and motion, but for their rest ethic, their willingness to pause, to reset spiritually and emotionally as God intends, to focus on spiritual matters, to work from a place of rest and restoration. Think about what happens over time when rest is not present. Tension and stress never come down. Anxiety is never calmed. Peace and reflection are missing in that kind of frenzied activity. And the pressure of life just keeps building and building and building. Years ago, I heard this marital advice, and I really have always thought it was very insightful. And they said that after every disagreement in a marriage, you must intentionally and purposely take the temperature of the relationship back down to neutral, so that when there is a new disagreement, as inevitably will come, you start from the beginning, not from the heightened tension of the prior disagreement. Because over time, if you're always building on that tension, even the smallest trouble will create unmanageable relational explosions. I think the same thing is true in life. It may be part of why we're directed so intentionally to Sabbath. Because without that determined rest, when do we bring our minds back to neutral? Without intentional rest, when do we settle our hearts and remind ourselves of our core priorities? Without intentional rest, when does God speak into our lives the hope that sustains us in difficult moments? And I keep using that word intentional for a reason, because I'll be the first to admit I'm guilty of resting by scrolling, maybe even resting by binge watching. And I'm not saying that technology can never be restful, but is it actually restful? Do I find refreshment and spiritual renewal at the end of that? Or is it more of an exhausted escape that doesn't leave me any more refreshed than I was before? And so for me, when I'm saying intentional rest, what I mean is it might actually be more restful to take a quiet walk in the woods than to sit and scroll through my phone. Even though it might sound a little counterintuitive to say that the more active one is more restful. But the last few weeks, I've found myself surviving a very busy storm of family, professional, and life obligations. October, it's just wild in my family. And in the midst of it all, I find myself asking, what if? What if I said, test it the way Daniel did? What if I decided that God actually does know what's best for me, and if I just go ahead and claim the rest that I'm instructed to take, what if I would be healthier and wiser and better equipped for the things that I'm actually trying to do? What would that even look like? I don't know that I think it looks like a complete stopping of all life for 24 hours each week, but I also know it does not look like the pace of my life the last 4 weeks. I need, the Lord has convicted me, to bring my rest ethic in balance with my work ethic, trusting that God's way is the best way, and there is always wisdom and purpose behind Scripture. And maybe you're challenge right now is not finding obedience to God with regard to directives for Sabbath. Maybe God is nudging you in an entirely different way altogether. Sorry, I lost my place. Whatever your what if might be right now, can you see that there's really always this contrast? The reality that's placed in front of us, that we can see something on one side that looks so tempting, so aligning with culture, and so alluring to how our lives might be focused. And there's this contrast that on the other side is how God is calling us to live, how God is saying, if this way is the way you'll conduct your life, if this is how you'll live, this is going to be better for you. And we have these decisions to make in terms of how we order and structure our lives? Do we do it in alignment with the Word of God, or do we allow our lives to just kind of ebb and flow based on the world around us? And I think that we can find that when we align ourselves with God, so many things open up and fall into place. But let's check back with Daniel and pick up with verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, remember this was the test, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine prepared for the provided for the others. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meaning of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. It's really no surprise, right? It's no surprise that when Daniel lived out, practically speaking, just lived out what God said was the best and healthiest way for him to live, that it turned out, when tested, it was actually the best and healthiest way to live. That he was stronger and healthier and in the long term wiser and more equipped than those around him. And yet, knowing that, it's wild, really, how much we can tend to fight against the guidance of Scripture that is literally intended to bring us the best and healthiest versions of our own lives here on earth while we prepare for life in eternity. But we do, sometimes because things are tempting, sometimes because they're so immediate and right there, sometimes because we're simply easily distracted. So as we begin to look and reflect on this conversation today, I want to leave you with this question. What is your what if in life right now? And I don't mean looking back, what if for the past. I mean, what is your what if for today, looking ahead to your future in walking out your faith with God? Where is God inviting you to look ahead, to step into the faithfulness and persistence of Daniel, to say, what if? What if I got up 20 minutes earlier every day and did my devotions each morning? What if I devoted time each day to praying purposefully for my family? What if I joined a small group or found a way to connect with believers outside of Sunday morning that I might be more encouraged in my walk with the Lord? What if I chose the intentional rest of Sabbath over the chaos of the world? What if I decided today that regardless of the circumstances around me, I would follow the God who sustains me? I would lean into the hope, the peace, and the right living that God has in store for my life. What if? Would you be with me in prayer? Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the example that Daniel brings. Thank you for the purpose you give our lives. Thank you for the way you have designed us. And you know exactly what we need. You know exactly what is best and right and healthiest for us. And I pray that you would help us to live that out, to walk it out, Father God, and to honor you with whatever the what if is that you're nudging in our own life. Lord, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.